My name is Jessica Block. I'm originally a geologist, but I'm a GIS analyst and remote sensor, and I've spent my career working on data visualization and aggregation for science policy issues. And one project that has been a major focus in my life in the last couple of years has been one we call WiFire. It's data aggregation for wildfire response monitoring and research. And the goal is a scalable, data-driven monitoring and dynamic prediction and resilience cyber infrastructure for wildfires. So as context for that, wildfire response is remarkably low tech. There is software modeling that fire agencies use, but they do not call upon those software experts until the fire is big enough to warrant calling them and paying for them. And so what we sought out to do was to collect all the data that is publicly available for wildfire understanding and putting that into a large database structure that makes the data accessible. And then you can do all kinds of things by monitoring all those data in one place, including visualization, and then putting that data into these models more efficiently. And then when you aggregate that data, you do stuff to it, and then you create new data out of that. And so we built an interface we call the Fire Map. And this last fall, we have the modeling tool within this web application, but we also have all of the environment data that is used for this modeling in the platform. And by accident, the public found it and started using it for situational awareness during the wildfires in the fall. So we got over 800,000 unique visitors and over 8 million visits between October and December. So once, we find that once you have the information and you can put it on a map, all of a sudden people ask new and interesting questions that we didn't anticipate before. So the picture on the left is showing the series of fires in Santa Rosa that occurred in October. The purple circles with the arrows are the weather stations, showing you the wind direction with the arrow, and then the gust values are in the center of the circle. It's a little hard to see. The publicly available current, current status of the fire perimeter is the areas, and then the red zones around the outside are what the satellite MODIS and VIRS satellites are detecting as currently actively burning pixels. So we go ahead and ignite those pixels in the upper right, and under the weather conditions that we're measuring from those weather stations that we're pulling from the public Mesa West website, and predict where that fire is going to go. And then, because Santa Rosa is on the north side of the Bay Area, there are bigger implications to these local fires than just its area, which were huge implications of their own. For instance, the air pollution when the wind changed and enveloped the entire Bay Area with really dense smoke, and those are air pollution sensors that you see on top of it. So there were all kinds of public health implications that weren't even close to the fires themselves. So this became like a huge public intelligence tool, and people for the most part didn't care how accurate this data was, which is really interesting. The satellite data comes every 12 hours, but this aggregation was the only way they had any clue of what was happening at all. And it's been a really interesting conversation the last 2 days about uncertainty and data accuracy and how you present all that data. And for the most part, we've experienced that fudging is really great. People are really relieved to have fudged data. So then when it comes to the firefighters, this is an example of a fire we modeled in 2016. This is in the Cajon Pass. At this junction, this is northeast of or east of Los Angeles. This is a mountain pass where a major freight railway comes through. So this fire actually shut down freight traffic nationally for days. And we dropped a pin in our tool. I wonder if my pointer can be seen. No. We dropped a pin at the southern end, and we ignited it for 6 hours. And then what I'm showing you here is an overlay of that model after the fact. And the orange dots that you see on the south and the north are the satellite detections that are validating that our model was really good for that first 6-hour run. But interestingly, that that is not because our data was great. So it's not because, so we had the cyber infrastructure that pulls in the upper left, the weather station data. We embarked on this because the local utility company has installed over 200 weather sensors of their own. We are incorporating the National Weather Service model, which is at a 12-kilometer grid, which is pretty low resolution. And then my representation on the right of the landscape data is all of the vegetation, topography, slope aspect, and then fuels data, but the conversion of vegetation to burnability. And all of that wasn't good enough to do the right job for us. It turns out that in this highly varied terrain, the weather on the ground at that location was significantly different. So the only way that we could get it right was to be listening to the ham radios of the CAL FIRE firefighters on the ground, hear what they're saying approximately, and add that into the tool. So even though we'd built this highly automated and efficient system, bringing in the fuzzy of the of what they call the boots on the ground was essential for getting a proper model. And so in the challenges in this project, or this fuzzy civic engagement side, the context is way more important than the infrastructure can even know how to quantify. And so the way we do that is we do it by being with them while we're fighting these fires. We basically are acting as a support system. And then the infrastructure itself is helping them to understand how they can feed us with new data. So So instead of waiting 12 hours for the next satellite fire detections, the fire departments are actually launching their own helicopters and planes to give us live perimeters so that we can update the models as fast as we can get them. And we're thinking of other ways that we can contextualize that firefighter intelligence, ground intelligence, that's only learned by observation over many years to figure out how we can incorporate that into our workflow in more efficient ways. So in many ways, we're reinventing the wheel, but we're speeding up this process from like waiting 24 hours to launch the fire behavior analyst to a 30-second back of the napkin assumption for or estimation for where the fire is going to go. And then we can repeat this over and over again throughout the day, which has become extremely critical in the fires that we were working on in the fall, that were the first 24 hours being the most critical and life-threatening. So it's very difficult to put the fuzzy context into this dynamic workflow. Moving on to a completely different topic, but one I'm also spending a lot of time on, is one in collaboration with the UC San Francisco Preterm Birth Initiative. They're a $100 million grant-funded research project dedicated solely to understanding premature birth. It's turning into an epidemic. There are places where premature birth is significantly higher than other places. And I'm in a state of shock as to how poorly scientists and physicians understand the problem. There's no preliminary monitoring to understand what it is that is creating the onset of these issues. And so there's a whole lot of genetics and microbiome work and environmental work that's going on in this initiative that's shedding light onto this as an epidemic. In California, they're focusing predominantly in California and in Eastern Africa. And in California, the highest rates of preterm birth are in Fresno County. So we can plot where these preterm births occur in Fresno County by the mother's pre-existing medical conditions. We can show by race where they are delivering and their prevalence. And you see that it's remarkably different depending on what you look at. And so one way to attempt to communicate this to the policymakers in Fresno County and the mothers of lived experience themselves is to try to give them some sort of aggregate number. So as geographers, we all want to lean on our map and talk about the spatial context and relevance to this information. But actually, a lot of the stakeholders and women that we're working with don't know how to read a map. And so sometimes the better way to present that information might be to say, if you live in a rural region, you might be heavily exposed to pesticides in this agricultural region, and you're much more at risk of your pre-existing hypertension with preeclampsia affecting your delivery than if you lived in the city. And strangely enough, and they don't know why, if you were born in Mexico and you live in the city and you're overweight, you have protective factors for delivering early. And so there's all of this mystery and all of this context for these women. And it's incredibly difficult to measure because a lot of the context for these outcomes are really racism and marginalization. And the data sets that they have for delivery in California are predominantly white women. So they're actually embarking on collecting the birth data of pregnant women of color in California right now. So there's a whole lot of sitting with these women of lived experience to understand the context as to what these numbers mean. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there in the conversation we've been having about bias in our data and what that means. So when you talk to physicians, if you're a Black woman, they'll tell you you're at very high risk of delivering early because you're Black. And they're getting very close to proving in many different ways why it isn't your race that's the problem. It is the environment and your experience that's inducing that. So ways of getting around the fuzziness and trying to actually measure, because we're always dying to measure, is to actually do this, you know, apply our data science to these problems. And one of the ways that we know how to do this with our hammer is with satellite imagery. As you can slice, this is my example the technique I'm applying for these other projects is looking at Mumbai, India, and classifying the image into chunks of different types of urban space. So this is, I created a histogram out of the image. So taking the image and slicing it into a whole bunch of 200 by 200 pixel tiles and then putting them in these classifications, you can say, okay, so here's a classification of slums. Where are those like neighborhoods? And where can I overlay like different variations of say my health outcomes or my vegetation types and my high fire hazard areas to correlate the information I need to know to get closer to answering my question. So I think I'll leave it at that.